Good morning. And welcome to the first day of spring. Kind of seemed like that outside this morning, didn't it? Now they say it's going to drop by 40 degrees today, so enjoy this while we have it. We have a number of announcements this morning. Ritual of Friendship cards, please fill those out in the back of the pews. The minister's office hours are on the back of the chimes. Coffee house is Friday, January 9th at 7:30. Work day is Tuesday, January 6th. And also there's a insert in your bulletin, the December 3rd church board meeting minutes. Anyone else have any announcements? Yes, Teresa. Coffee hour next Sunday also. Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? No? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 2, verses 1, 2, and 4, How Great Thou Art. And please stand. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading found in your chimes. All praise to God the Father, Almighty Creator.
All praise to God.
All praise to God, the Holy Spirit, faithful companion.
All praise to God, the triune Lord.
The beginning and the end.
Our help in ages past and hope for years to come.
Let us pray. We praise you as the God of the heavens and the earth. You are the God of the heavens, for you have brought all things into being, even the furthest galaxies and the star that announced the birth of your Son. You are the God of the earth, for you have come down to where we are and have walked among us, being born as one of us to rescue us from all that would destroy us. Hear our prayers and receive our praise as we worship you as the God of heaven and on earth. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Through the miracle of our gifts, we can share our witness across the miles and down through the years. Let us give generously so we can extend our influence beyond the limitations of time and space. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 215. Tell me the story of Jesus. Thank you.
wish to reach out, not only beyond ourselves and our families, but also beyond our community and our country. Bless these offerings, we pray, and endow them with the miracle of everlasting witness. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture this morning is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about, and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. And you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is Go Tell It on the Mountain by our sanctuary choir.
Since we've just celebrated the glorious season of Christmas, honoring Jesus' birth, we hopefully will carry that spirit with us and go and tell other people and shout it from the mountain.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this first Sunday of January, this first Sunday of 2015. I hope you had a blessed, wonderful new year and have begun a blessed, wonderful new year. As we gather this morning, we celebrate this new year that we've been given. We also celebrate the season of Epiphany. We'll talk more about that, but Epiphany will take place on Tuesday as we conclude the Christmas season, but we celebrate it on the Sunday closest, being today. The visit of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus, the visit of the wise men who have followed a great star and followed the light to see the child, and we also respond to the light this morning as we've come to worship together, to sing together, to pray together. As we lift up our joys and concerns this morning, we do celebrate this wonderful month that we have had, this wonderful time of celebration and joy, and we do want to continue the Christmas spirit in our hearts and continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ from the mountain, from the valley, and anywhere in between. If you have not brought your canned goods, your non-perishable items for the food bank, please bring them next week and the next day, a week from Monday, I'm going to call Community Ministries and deliver the food to them, so you have one more chance for that. We mentioned earlier that we are going to have coffee hour next week, but we are also going to have a joyous event, a baby dedication, when Adam and Heidi Culver will bring their daughter Ellie to be dedicated before God and before us and before their family. So I hope that you all come to celebrate with the family next Sunday for that baby dedication. 2 weeks from today, two Sundays from today, we're going to have the installation of officers. And this is not just new officers, this is all officers. Anybody who was on that slate of officers that we voted on 2 weeks ago, please come two Sundays from today so we may have the ritual of installation for the officers to begin the new year. Now, we've been praying for people on our prayer list. We've been praying for people in our lives, our in our hearts. We've had some updates and some people to add as well. We've been asked to pray for Brantley Miller. Brantley Miller is a one-year-old child, a son of a friend of Miranda Glass. And he was life flighted to the Children's Hospital last night with the original diagnosis being croup. And so far, not heard any indication, any update on his condition this morning. So let us pray for Brantley Miller and Brantley's family as well. Paula and Mike asked us before to pray for Paul and Mary Ellen Catellus. And this past week, Mary Ellen passed away. So we want to lift up Mary Ellen's family in our prayers and lift Mary Ellen before God as we do rejoice that she is beyond pain, but we do mourn with her family on her passing. Also, Paula's had a bad week. Her friend Ed Andrea, we've been praying for, and he stopped dialysis and is expected to only have a couple of weeks to live. So let us pray for Ed Andrea. And Paula also has asked us to pray for her friend Tom Schiffbauer, who has had a stroke. So let us pray for all those people. Let us pray for Paula as well, for all that she is going through this past couple of weeks. Do we have prayers to add this morning? Joys and concerns to share before God and one another? Roxanne? Up Paul and the LaPree family in prayer this morning. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Kelly Kent. We'll pray for Kelly. We want to also continue to pray for Bill Reynolds, who was at Frick Hospital with pneumonia but is now at Harmon House and will be there for a couple weeks as he recovers. Let's pray for his strengthening, his well-being, and his return home. Don? Thank you. prayed for Joe on the passing of his wife. Thank you. Ray? Brandy, and the last name again?
Nick
Lope. Nick Lope. We'll pray for her and her battle for cancer. Thank you for sharing that. Tina? For you and your daughters, and pray for the situation. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yes.
Just two things. Your prayers and concerns. One is about Sonny Garner. Just got out of the hospital. He's in the hospital for years. Day. He had major back surgery. He's in a lot of pain, but he also is in a lot of joy because he's not going to be in pain that much longer. So, and the other one is my youngest daughter, Beth.
Pray for them. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sonny. Thank you. Are there any others? Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Today, O Lord of the ages, we have the unique experience of standing at the beginning of a new day, a new week, a new month, and a new year. As we do so, we ask that this day of newness will also be for us a day of new beginnings, new life, new challenges, new opportunities, new commitments, and new joys. And so we begin this time confessing, admitting our shortcomings, starting with a clean slate. We confess, Lord, that we have trouble living up to the assertion that the old has passed away and that the new has come. For we find it difficult to throw off old habits and resolutions that we make so quickly fade away. The customs of the past have become so much a part of our lives, we find it difficult to change. And we know that Jesus Christ calls us to a new life, but by nature we resist. Give us strength to break the bonds of the past, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to become the new people you want us to be. Help us, Lord of the ages, not be preoccupied with the past, thinking that what the old is always best, imagining that the new is always the worst, and that change is synonymous with evil. Help us also not to be preoccupied with the present, thinking that the pleasurable is always the best, and imagining that painful is always the worst, and that difficulty is synonymous with evil. And help us also, Lord, not to be preoccupied with the future, thinking that the new is always the best, and imagining that the old is always the worst, and that custom is synonymous with evil. Rather, O Lord, help us to know that you are in all things, that you are the God of the past, the present, and the future, that you await us in all these times, and that each season brings with it its own blessings, its own joys, its new own wonders to be learned, discovered, and cherished. Help us, Lord, in all the stages of our life, as we gather young and old, as we gather near and far, as we come from different backgrounds, help us to see your word and your presence and your example and how it may change our lives. For you have done wonderful things for all people, but you also have a special message for each of us. We wait in silence as we listen to your presence, as we feel your presence and listen to you speaking to us this morning. Lord, as we lift up our concerns to you, as we lift up our wants and our desires to you, we know that you know all things, that you have what is best for us. Help us to see what you want us to do. Help us to know your will. And help us as we pray for others, all those who we've lifted up this morning, we lift them into your care as they deal with diseases and surgeries, as they recover from illnesses and sicknesses, as they have passed on to be with you, and as they have been left behind with those who have gone on. We pray for each one of them. We pray for Brantley and Paul. We pray for the LaPree family. We pray for Kelly, for Bill, for Joe Manana and for Bethany, for Sunny and for Tina and her daughters. We pray for Brandy. We pray for all those who are in your need this morning. May they feel your presence. May they feel the hope that comes with knowing that you are with them. Whether you're with them in the hospital, in the home, in the court, in the workplace, in the funeral home, or in heaven. We know, O Lord, that you are in all places and in all times. May that bring us consolation if we are sad. May that bring us the joy of knowing that you rejoice with us when we are happy. May that bring us the hope when we despair. May that bring us humility when we think too much of ourselves. May that give us esteem when we think too little. And finally, Lord, we pray for our friend Paula. We pray for her as she has gone through so much this week, especially for all of her friends who are suffering from illnesses or death. We pray for the Catellus family on the passing of Mary Ellen. And we pray that your spirit be with her husband Paul as he continues to fight his battle with cancer, but also now with grief. We pray for Ed Andrea in the last days, possibly of his life, that he may bring comfort, as well as the saving grace of Jesus Christ that will ensure that these may be the last days in this world, in this life, but not the last days in the next. And we also pray for Tom as he recovers from his stroke, that he may be well and fully healed. Grant us your peace, O Lord. Grant us your comfort. Grant us your wisdom, knowing that you are the God of the ages, now and forevermore, till the passing of the age and the coming of your glorious kingdom. We pray to you. We pray with you. We pray because of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon.
We're waiting for the little ones. Quiet. They'll be quiet till they get up here, and then they'll be like, bah, 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 bah. Yeah, they'll be bah, 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 bah. Here they come. There we go. Just in time. Are you the lone wolf or are there others? There's six of them? Oh my. Here they come. I hear them. There we go. Come on down. Oh, we got lots of little ones. Have a seat. All right. Okay, I want to know, what was the best gift? Okay, right here, baby. You can sit right here. I want to know what the best gift was that you got this Christmas. Okay, are you ready to tell me? Okay, we'll start with you.
TV and a Zoomer Dyno.
A TV and a Zoomer Dyno. I don't know what that is. What is that? I know what the TV is.
Yeah,
it's an electric dinosaur. It's an electric dinosaur, for those of you who don't know. It's electric dinosaur. That's pretty good. Okay, Kels, do you know? Pick one. Well, she said she got so much she didn't know what to pick from. Can you pick one?
Clothes.
Oh, that was a good one. Okay, what was your bet?
A bake oven.
A bake oven. Did you get an easy bake oven? Oh, those are the cool thing. What did you get? Well, your mom knows what you got. Okay. Oh, she got... I'm not sure what you said, but Mommy knows what you got that was good. Okay. All right. So long as Mom knows. Okay, Tess?
My grandma got me a new book bag for Christmas.
A new book bag. That's pretty cool. Frozen. Well, let it go. Okay? Okay? Ellie, what did you get? Do you know? Okay, wait, okay. Do you have a best gift?
Pet shop.
Oh, she got what's the beginning of that? The Littlest Pet Shop. That's one of those little things that has all those pieces. Good luck, Dad, with that. Okay, Charlotte, what did you get? You sure?
Okay, I got a... So, I know. Say, doll. Okay, bowl.
You got a bowl? Be like a bowl that you eat cereal out of?
And it has a straw, so that when they finish eating the cereal, she can drink the milk. It is seriously her favorite present.
I bet you my husband would like that gift. Okay? And what did you get? Your best gift?
I got a Nerf gun with a target, and then I got extra darts.
Oh, a Nerf gun with a... Oh, good luck with that, Reverend Chris. What was my best gift? Well, I got a lot of nice gifts, too. But I got tickets to see Taylor Swift. Yeah, so I was really excited, yeah. Did you remember now? Okay, go ahead.
Pictures of...
She got pictures of something, right? Okay, well, that was good. So we all got different gifts that we all like, but we all got one gift the same. Do you know what it was? What did we all get that was the same?
And they got the same white
content. They got the same white... Key. All right, key, right, T-shirts, like. Okay, key, okay. Well, I didn't get one of those. What? Do you all know what we all got the same? Same gift? We got Jesus, baby Jesus. How cool was that? We got baby Jesus as a gift. Now, look at me. Why is that so important? Anybody know? Why is it important that we got baby Jesus? Anybody know? It's because... Girls, look at me. Look at me, okay? It's important because before we got baby Jesus, God was up there and we just didn't have any idea there. Okay? And we didn't know. I mean, we knew to follow God and we knew all that, but we didn't know what he looked like and we didn't know a lot of other things. But then God sent Jesus. And Jesus was a real person. And he was a real man that did all these neat things. And then we knew that God knew what we were going through as humans. You know, when you're going up in that heaven, it's kind of easy, huh, sometimes? But when you're down here on earth, it's hard sometimes being good. And it's hard. But Jesus was the one that helped us, God. So, think about the best gift you got, but think about the best gift that we all got. Okay? All right, you can go to your class.
Our second scripture lesson today comes with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and it's found on page 2 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. As they read of the visit of the wise men to the
greatest gift that we all received. We read, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, I had a fascination with superheroes, as many boys do, and my son does now. And in fact, now we often have to play superheroes. And what do superheroes do whenever they hear somebody in distress? They, whatever clothes they're wearing, somehow they're able to get their uniform on, whether it's Superman in a telephone booth, which, what would Superman do today? You can't find a telephone booth within 1,000 miles. I'm not sure what Superman would do today. But they would find out, somehow get their uniform on, and they would come to the rescue, and they save the day. Well, I always wanted to be that as a child growing up, but of course, not everyone can get bit by a radioactive spider like Peter Parker, so that path was closed to me. But I did get a chance a couple years ago to play Super Minister, and that was a lot of fun. See, a couple years ago at Christmas time, I may have told you the story before, but it's worth hearing again. I was at Rite Aid, and I was shopping for some replacement lights, and I was not looking the part of a minister that day, however you think a minister should look. I had on jeans and boots and a leather jacket and a Rock Band t-shirt, and I had my daughter in the car carrier. She was about, 2 years old at that point. And I was just standing there in the aisle looking over the lights when I heard the woman at the counter, behind the register, talking with another customer. And he was a music minister at a local church, and they were doing some type of presentation for the 12 days of Christmas. And she thought that was really neat, and she said to him, "What are the 12 days of Christmas? I mean, you know, I know the song, but what are the 12 days of Christmas?" And he said, "You know, I don't really know. I said, I know Christmas and Christmas Eve and I guess New Year's, but I don't know what they are." And the woman said, "I wish someone could just tell me what the 12 days of Christmas are." And at that point, if I had had a phone booth in my robe, I could have changed into my costume, and I could have come and been super minister, but I didn't have that, so I just walked up to her, and I said, "I know what the 12 days of Christmas are. The 12 days of Christmas, traditionally, are the celebration of Christmas time beginning on December 25th, and then following the next 11 days after Christmas, ending on January 5th, and in between there are a number of old feasts, such as St. Stephen's Day on the 26th, or the celebration of Christmastide, and they end on January 5th, and it all gets wrapped up with Epiphany on January 6th, the celebration of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus." And I was very pleased with myself that my theological education paid off in a way in which I was able to solve someone's terrible, distressing problem. And she was not as grateful as the people are when Superman comes to rescue them from their problems. After I gave her all that information, more than she expected to get, she said, "Thanks." And I walked away, feeling like my work there had been finished. And as I said, I was very pleased. I was very pleased. I always think of that story at this time of year, because at this time of year, we are in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. And when my children ask why we are still listening to Christmas music and watching Christmas shows on TV, I tell them, I remind them what day of Christmas we are on today. Owen woke up and he said, is today the 11th day of Christmas? And I said, yeah, yes it is. And he said, where's my present? I said, well, traditionally they did get one present every day leading up to the 12th night, but now we just front load them to you and you enjoy them over the 12 days. So we're traditional enough to know the traditions, but not traditional enough to follow them exactly as they once were. Today is the 11th day of Christmas. So if you woke up to find 11 pipers piping on your front lawn, you will know why. And I like that tradition, or at least that thought, because you do have the idea that we build up, we build up, we build up, and then on December 26th, the world goes back to whatever it was that they were doing before, November 1st, when Christmas began for them. But as Christians, we should continue to celebrate Christmas. We should continue to celebrate. If in fact, Jesus hadn't been born before, and then on this December 25th, he came, we wouldn't just go back to our lives as usual on December 26th. We should continue to tell it from the mountain. We should continue to share the good news. I'm also reminded of the song when I read the passages that we have read for today for the prophet Isaiah and the Gospel of Matthew, in which the Lord declares that the light of Israel will cause kings to fall before it in Isaiah, and in which the wise men follow a light, or some people call them kings from the east, and bow down and give gifts to the light of the world, as we heard in Matthew. And there are two reasons for this. The first is that this is the lectionary text for this Sunday, which is in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. In fact, these are the texts selected to celebrate Epiphany. And Epiphany marks the end of the 12 days and the celebration of the wise men coming to visit the child. Now, Epiphany this year will be on Tuesday, but since we do not have services that day, as many churches do not, then we celebrate the Sunday before. And Epiphany is a celebration of light. That is really the metaphor that is used most for that, because the wise men, they follow the star, they follow the light in the sky. They did so that they could come to the light of the world. And they did so at a very dark time, but then went away, and we celebrate the light that comes in the middle of the darkest time of year. As the Gospel of John stated, Jesus was the light of the world, and his light was revealed by a star that led wise men from the east. But Isaiah said it first when he said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This Isaiah said more than 500 years before the wise men came. This prophecy saw its realization when these men came from other nations. It's from the east, as near as we could tell, somewhere around Iraq, what then was Persia, the dominant power, one of the dominant powers of the time. They followed the light in order to see and worship the light when Matthew writes, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. And so there you have then this realization of what Isaiah had promised, kings coming to bow to Israel, to bow before its light. Traditionally, the 12 days of Christmas end with Jesus' light being revealed to these three Gentiles from a foreign nation, indicating that his light is not hid, or not to be hid under a bushel, but sent to brighten not just the lives of the Israelites, but indeed the whole world. Now, the second reason these passages remind me of the 12 days of Christmas is that in this story, we see that the Lord has come bringing peace on earth and goodwill to all, and this is symbolized by these wise men coming from another nation, following a light to bring presents. It is a beautiful story. It is a pretty story. It is a story of light that is filled with light, and yet there is a great deal of darkness. And not just the fact that they traveled at night to follow the star, but even after hearing the good news of great joy that will bring peace on earth and goodwill, we hear this gift threatened and angered many people. Herod was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and soon the streets would be blood, red with blood of the children. The wise men saw the light for themselves, but they were reminded of darkness, which had not yet given way, when having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. They had traveled all this way to see this light that was going to bring good news and peace, and they saw it, and still They had to go a different way because the darkness was not ready to go away. The darkness was not ready to yield to the light that had come. Even Jesus, the light itself, very shortly after this passage, has to flee Israel. How long had Israel waited for the Messiah to come? And then he comes, and very shortly after, he has to go. They pack up. They leave. They fly away in the middle of the night to go to another land, to go to Egypt, to escape Herod's wrath. For the darkness does not go away easily. The light had come into the world. The darkness could not overcome it, as John tells us, but the Christmas light did cast a very large shadow. And that was the shadow of Easter, the shadow of the cross. We see that now more clearly than when we look at the gifts the wise men brought. Because just as the prophet Isaiah foretold, kings would come and would bow before the light, and they would bring, he said, gifts of frankincense and gold. And the wise men, the three kings from the east, they traveled and they bowed to the light and they brought with them gifts of frankincense and gold. But they brought one more, and that was myrrh. And myrrh is a very valuable and rare ointment, and it has a lot of uses, but its main usage was for burial, to preserve the body for the purification rites and the burial rites that the Jewish people observed. It was a gift that no child should ever have a use for. But it is a gift that each person would have a use for in the future, even the Christ child. And so even at Christmas, the shadow of Easter would loom large. Let's remember that there are four Gospels, and in the four Gospels, there are only two birth narratives, in Matthew and in Luke. But there are four crucifixion and resurrection narratives in each Gospel. Everything in the Gospel points to the Easter event. Everything in our lives as Christians should point to the Easter event. It is the central aspect of the Christ event. And so even when we celebrate with joy and with light, there is that shadow of Good Friday that lingers. But what does this have to do with three French hens and two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree? The reason these words remind me of the 12 days of Christmas is because of a legend that the song was written as a catechism designed to help students learn about the Bible with the gifts representing various aspects of faith. According to this legend, then, the four calling birds were the four Gospels, the six geese laying the 6 days of creation, the 11 pipers piping the 11 faithful disciples, and so on. The images of drummers and pipers, they help the children to remember the important parts of Jesus' story. They are these images that really just kind of jump out at you, and you remember them, even, you know, however old you are, you remember them. So it helps them to remember. And it's fun, and it's joyous, just as Christmas is. So it tricks kids into making learning fun. Anytime we can trick kids into learning, we should do it. But the song always comes back, to the partridge and the pear tree, which is to represent Christ upon the cross. So that in this song, there are 11 gifts that bring joy and light, but there is one that is dark and sad. Now, we understand as Christians that Good Friday is not the end, and so even then, in the dark and sad, there is light and joy, but still, there is a dark and sad moment within the story of Christ. Actually, there are quite a few, but there is one big one that we can never ignore. In the song, as in the story, there is much light, but there is still shadow, and one big shadow to be sure. And that is the way of the world, and it has always been so. If you can get 11 good days out of 12, count yourself very fortunate. If you can get something that is 90% light and only 10% dark, be very happy. You have done well. Because you see, you can't turn on a light without casting a few shadows. That's how it works. No light in this world is so bright that it can dispel every single shadow. Even when making a dark room light, there will still be pockets of darkness somewhere around, and that is what is happening here in the story of Christmas altogether. For we spent 12 days celebrating the fact that the light of the world has come, and even then there was darkness. Even when the light of the world came, there was darkness, and often there was darkness because the light of the world came. We are in the season of light, and even now there is darkness. I don't just mean the nighttime. I mean that the cross is always present, and this is important because we do have shadows in our own life. And we need to know that Christ can overcome them. And we need to know that really there is nothing in this world that can. Perhaps we will not know the pain that Mary would know, and I hope that we do not, but it is important to know that if we do, Christ has been there, and Christ will be there. Even for the person whose life is still filled with so many good and happy things, there are shadows lurking. And for most of us, the shadows are pretty large, and sometimes threaten to overcome the light. But we need to know that when Jesus came in the world, it wasn't picture postcard perfect. It wasn't sentimental and Hallmark ready. It was dark. It was dangerous. There was lots of shadows and threatening gloom. And yet, he persevered. And even unto the cross, which was the darkest day, still the darkness could not hold sway. The 12 days of Christmas is a reminder that Christmas is not over on December 26th. And in fact, we need it more than ever after that. Because as we've said before, it is easy to be in the Christmas spirit. It is easy to be joyous and faithful when the decorations and the lights are out and the presents are coming. And we see that with how well our attendance is at Christmas time and then how it is in January. But we are still in the middle of the Christmas season. The shadow of the cross, though, has already started to move in. And as we sit at the beginning of the new year, there is much light in our life and our world, but there are shadows as well. In every circumstance of our life, there will be good and there will be bad. There will be light and there will be dark. And how your life proceeds will depend in large measure on whether or not you follow the light, seek the light, turn to the light, respond to the light, or if you allow the shadows to overcome you. You can't have light without shadows, but you also cannot have shadows without light. And with the shadows, it is easier to see how bright the light truly is, because that's when we need it the most. As I said before, it reminds me of that song that it seems so simple, but I think is a wonderful little story, a little parable in and of itself. It also reminds me of the words of one of my favorite non-Christmas songs, a song called In the Aeroplane Over the Sea, where the singer Jeff Magnum sings, "And one day we will die and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young, let us lay in the sun and count every beautiful thing we can see. And let us do that, for the sun has come. And each day from now until Easter, it will be brighter and it will be lighter and the light will shine better. But each day the shadows also will grow. Let us celebrate the light that was revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let us enjoy the light wherever we may find it, knowing that though the shadows lurk always, they cannot overcome the light of God's Son. Let us enjoy the light that has been given to us and celebrate it wherever we may find it, even if the shadows linger. Because in the end, the light of the Son will overcome all. Amen." And now this morning, the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. The hymn numbers on this page got cut off a little bit by the printer, so our communion hymn this morning, "I Need Thee Every Hour," is 443, verses 1, 2, and 4. 443. Let us sing together. word epiphany means a sudden realization. If you have an epiphany, it would be in a moment where you think, oh, I got it. Or, as that great image is, the light bulb turning on over your head, as if the light has come on, and now you understand. Epiphany and light have been connected together from the beginning of time, it seems. And we call this day Epiphany because the wise man had just that, this realization that not only was this child born, but who this child was. And there is an important aspect of this story that we must remember. They were not the first ones to understand that the child born in Bethlehem was the Son of God. Up to this point in the story, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they and Elizabeth and Zechariah, they had all figured this out. But how do they figure it out? Every one of them, except for Elizabeth, had been visited by an angel and told exactly who Jesus was and what was going to happen. And Elizabeth felt her baby John jump in her stomach when Mary came, and she had an epiphany that meant that it was the mother of her Lord coming, she said. So they all had these supernatural, particular revelations that not everybody is privy to. But the wise men, they had no such benefit. The wise men, as far as we know, saw the light, the star in the sky, and understood what it meant. And presumably, it's because they had studied and they had read. Some sources say that they were wise men, magi, astrologers. They had to have some knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures, but that also was important because they were not Hebrews themselves. These men did not get any personal revelation from an angel or a voice from God. And they were not the ones to be expecting a Messiah. Very much so, the idea of the Messiah was a Hebrew, a Jewish idea. It was an Israelite expectation. And anybody who was not a member of that nation or somebody who had moved away from that nation, they wouldn't be looking for such a thing. But these men went against the differences in nation and faith. And they realized for themselves who Jesus was, and so they followed the light to find him. It's a great story in and of itself, but it has great ramifications throughout the history of the church, and especially today. We do not need to be hit over the head with an angel at our door or a host of angels in the sky to know who Jesus is and to know why we should seek him. If the wise men can figure it out for themselves, we can as well. And we have advantages that they do not. One is that we have the scriptures now. We have the story. And we can read it. It's much more available to us than it was to anyone at that time. And two is that we do not have to travel several hundred miles to Bethlehem to see Jesus. We can encounter him anywhere and in any place. And indeed we do any time we go to him in prayer or worship his name. And yet we do come here, especially at this table, to meet him. Not because he is more present at this table, but because we are more present at this table. Because we have come to put aside all the things that distract us and keep us busy. All the things that sometimes cause us to forget God or to forget Christ in our life. We have come to put them aside and to focus on the gift that has been given to us. The gift that continues to be unwrapped by us and the world. The gift of the light of the world and the light of our lives. And we have come to be warmed by it and to feel our hearts and minds be brightened by it as well. Let us give thanks that for us, we do not need to travel so far in our legs, but we do need to travel in our hearts to meet Jesus where he is, that we may worship him and pay him homage, and that we may do our duties as followers of the light, to share it and to spread it through the world. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Father in heaven, we come to you this table this morning, this first Sunday of the new year, not to boast, but to confess, not to claim, but to request. Not to give excuses, but to come clean. Not to explain, but to admit. We come empty-handed, relying completely on your mercy. We ask through Jesus Christ, through whom we have received grace. Amen.
For I hand unto you what was also handed on to me, that on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is 240 in the Brown Hymnal. Fairest Lord Jesus, we'll sing verses 1 and 4. 240. Let us stand as we sing. Now let's bow our heads for the benediction. In a world of darkness, may you follow the light. In a world of confusion, may you point to the light. In a world of dysfunction, may you be a light. Amen.